Zita Amami is a professor of electrical engineering with equally staggering ways to revolutionise medicine, like helping the blind to see again.
The goal was for patients who have lost their photoreceptors because of macular degeneration or retinitis pigmentosa. We tried to build a system that would replace the function of photoreceptors. The idea is to have a camera that the patient can wear on their glasses, would capture the images, wirelessly send the information to a tiny chip inside the eye, and that tiny chip would send electric currents to a set of electrodes that would sit on top of the retina to mimic the function of photoreceptors and stimulate the ganglion cells.
It's not quite the same as the bionic eye. How have you been going? Did it work?
Yes, it did work. And in fact, extension of that work is being done at a company that worked closely with us. And we did animal tests together with Department of Ophthalmology at USC, and we proved the concept.
Well, of course, macular degeneration, that kind of blindness is terribly common. And I'm sure many people who are listening are concerned about, well, can I get a chip? You know, is it available? What happens next?
For patients who are completely blind or close to blindness, this makes a lot of sense, even today, because the reward is significant. But we still have a long way to go to use it for more patients who have tunnel vision or limited amount of vision. And for that, we need to make the device more efficient. We have to make more number of stimulation channels, and there are a lot of challenges associated with that. But we got very close to that. We got more than 512 stimulation channels, and we made it completely intraocular, meaning that we didn't need to have a cable coming out of the eye, and it was completely wireless.
But how do you get those chips inside to the retina?
That's a great question, because as you increase the number of channels, the chip will become bigger. So one of the things that we did, we worked closely with an origami artist to be able to fold these devices so that the surgeons can easily put it in. And then once inside, we can unfold it so that they sit on top of retina. And of course, we worked very closely with the ophthalmologist, very prominent surgeon at USC.
Now, this moved on, and I'm looking at some of the devices you've got inside which have succeeded that. The intraocular pressure sensor is, well, about a quarter or a tenth the size of my fingernail. It's tiny. What does that do inside the eye?
We believe this is the smallest, the most robust pressure sensor. In addition to measuring the pressure, it actually releases the pressure through this tube and drains the extra fluid in the eye to release the pressure. This is crucial for patients who suffer from glaucoma. Right now, they have to go to doctors. They measure the eye pressure every once in a while. But if you talk to ophthalmologists, they would love to be able to track the pressure of the eye to make sure that it's not going too high so that they damage the retina. So this device is crucial for patients who have the pressure go up during the time that is very difficult to monitor, for instance, during the night or evening. So this device is also completely wireless. It powers up wirelessly.
You're the mistress of miniaturism. And on the right, what is that little chip?
That's also a wireless glucose sensor. It's a subdermal device, meaning that you can inject it with a normal syringe just under the skin, and it measures the glucose level. It can replace the big devices that are used currently, and people have to prick their fingers every day. You have to use a needle to get some blood out and then do the measurements. So instead, with this device, we can inject it, and it will last for many months, and wirelessly at any time, you can do the measurement. There is a very small external reader the size of your smartwatch. That device pings this one, the one that is under the skin, and we can measure the glucose level at any time we want.
Tell me, Professor, are you a medical person or an engineering person or both?
I'm an engineering person, but I have learned a lot along the way about the human body, about our neurosystem even, because I work with neuroscientists as well, about the eye. So it's been a great experience for me just working.
What inspired you to take this direction in your work?
Actually, that was one of the reasons I came to Caltech. I was just an electrical engineer working on very high-speed data communication systems. But then I came to Caltech to expand my research because my sister suffers from epilepsy. And believe it or not, about 3 years ago, I could finally work on epilepsy-related devices. So we built a device that can predict seizure from neural data way in advance. And for certain patients, if you predict the seizure and then do deep brain stimulation, you can stop the seizure.
So many examples. Anything else that you've got in your ambition at the moment?
So right now, what I'm very excited about is our brain machine interface project together with Richard Anderson. He's a pioneer of brain machine interfaces. But now, instead of having very large devices, electrodes are implanted in the brain, and a lot of wires are coming out, going to a big computer to decode the neural data and predict the intention of the person in terms of movement, and then use that to control a robotic arm.
This is a person who's had a spinal injury and is sitting in a wheelchair, and yeah, as you say, it's covered in all sorts of electronic gear, but he's still smiling nonetheless, despite, you know, baldish head. He's got all sorts of devices. He looks like a television in some ways with a couple of aerials growing out of his what should be hair. But these people are then having a communication between the brain and, you were saying, devices, computers and so on?
So there are many electrodes implanted inside, and then a lot of neural data is gathered. It goes to a computer that digitize the information to a decoder that deciphers basically from the neural data what the person intends to do. And what we are doing right now, instead of using the conventional techniques, we are using machine learning algorithms. Through training, we'll find out what is the intention and decodes the neural data. But the other goal is that, again, to implement it on a single chip that can be implanted one day and would be completely wireless and replace all this equipment that is connected to this person.
So that paraplegic people with injuries like that can then move around and have machines that work for them.
Exactly. Or by thinking, move a cursor or move a robotic arm to grab things.
Professor Azita Amami at Caltech. A chip without wires to read the needs of paraplegics to run robotic help. Some scientists working on brains with extraordinary results. Production for The Science Show by David Fisher and Andrei Shabanov. I'm Robin Williams. Sie schlief an meiner Seite ein, ich liebte wie ein Kind sie ein.